Ever wanna live so bad you wanna die? Ever cried and cried until you can't cry? Like, why am I alive? What's the purpose to life? Ever wanna live so bad you wanna die? Ever cried and cried until you can't cry?
Alright, hi, welcome to Boys Who Cry Mental Health Conversations, a podcast about mental health, talking about feelings and stuff. My name is Ram Reyes, one of your hosts, and
I'm Paulina Rodriguez, your other co-host.
And before we start and introduce our guests, we want to let you know that you could actually support us now on Anchor.fm through listener support. We actually got, like, somebody already is supporting us. We have $3. A shout out to Duncan Airy. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but literally day one of the listener support, he donated $3.
And you were like, once somebody donates a dollar, I will put a professional podcaster in my bio.
I could not shut up about it yesterday at the time of this recording.
We are professionals now.
I actually put that on my Facebook. My job now is a professional podcaster.
Yeah.
This is how I earn my living.
We afford therapy.
Yeah, so you could go on anchor.fm/boyswhocry or go on boyswhocry.com, which just links to that page. And you could donate 99 cents a month. You could actually do it three times. That's what Duncan did. Like, he donated 99 cents three times, so he donated $3. So you could do that too. Or you could donate $5 or was it $10, I think? $10 is the highest.
Oh, wow.
And yeah,
can I donate to myself?
that will mostly go into back into the podcast, or actually go into our therapy copay.
Yeah, if you want to continue getting free therapy and learn from all our mistakes and childhood trauma,
yeah,
without having to do the work.
Yeah, this is the work. We're helping you, but like, yeah,
for free. Well, not kinda. For free.
Yeah, but yeah, we have more plans in the next season. But you could do that now.
Fund Ram's LSD.
Oh my God. No, don't do not. No, I will not spend that on any illicit drugs. I promise. But no. But I really appreciate to Duncan and anyone who will decide to donate. Like, that was the best $3 I ever earned. Like, we've ever earned. Like, I don't know why. It just felt so good. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I was so happy. And like, it makes me motivated more to do this podcast and, like, just, you know.
Yeah.
Well, today we have guests. Again, another guest. Introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Chris.
Just Chris?
Yeah. Just Chris.
Just Chris.
And Chris, we were going to talk about, you have bipolar disorder?
Yeah, acute bipolar disorder.
Oh. Well, gotta get closer to the mic, Chris.
My bad.
Yeah, we've actually known each other for, like, 3 years.
Really?
Yeah, he's when like my closest meet? Friend from Long Beach.
Oh, okay, Long Beach.
We met in a common room just watching Beyonce perform.
Yeah, we bonded over Beyonce. Yeah. That was when I was like putting people in categories of like, do they like Beyonce or not? Mm. And he made the list.
So. I told you like, she's kind of overrated.
I know.
What? No, do not disgrace that.
You can't say that. Hold on. Pause. You can't start this podcast with you saying that about her, but then be like the biggest Kanye West stan.
Hey, yeah. It's
the Gemini in you.
It's the yin and the yang of this pod. But Chris, you suffer from bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. How does that affect your life?
So most of the times I'm in the high stage.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, oh, I gotta go. Yeah. And I'm like, I gotta go here, I gotta go there. Yeah. I'm like, I gotta go see this person. Or it could be like love life stuff too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where you like are constantly like, oh, I need to like meet up with someone, or I need to find someone, like that mm-hmm. constant.
Yeah.
So it's like that. And then there's also like the low stages, and like mm-hmm. the low stages are like, okay, like those moments where I just like chill and like I want to close all the blinds and just sleep. Yeah. And
mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the high stage is typically called mania or the lesser form called hypomania.
Hypomania. Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's
so
like
full
there's
blown
like,
mania and
full blown mania and hypomania. I actually looked this up because I think I might also have it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I actually talked to my therapist like last week, and I told him like, yeah, I think I have like some form of hypomania. Because thinking about it, like the past year, I was like, there was one point where I just didn't sleep or eat. And you've had that.
Yeah, that's actually really troubling to me. Because like, I remember, because we would hang out like constantly, like you seemed like you were doing fine. And then you would tell me like randomly, like, I haven't ate. In like 3 days.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, is he like lying or like hiding things or something?
It just comes and goes.
And it's like, you said you wouldn't even notice that you weren't eating.
Yeah. A lot of times you don't notice. So until like you go into see like a therapist and you like talk to your therapist and you're like having that like one-on-one. And that's when it really starts to, you really start to notice like these patterns and like reoccurring patterns and stuff. So like, yeah, some days I wouldn't sleep for like, for 3 days. I remember I wouldn't sleep, so, and it wasn't like I was not like trying to. I'd take like a melatonin or something.
Oh my god, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would just it was just like, I like gotta go, like, yeah. And I just like, I have things to do too, so yeah. It was like,
No. I was gonna say, is it just like your mind doesn't stop? What's
in your headspace when you get in this mode? Like, what do you think about?
So most of the times it's like, oh, I have this to do, and this, and this.
Yeah.
It's not like I have this.
Yeah.
It's and this, and that, and this, and that, and that, and that, and that, and that.
And you feel like you can do all of it, right?
Yeah, I remember I spring cleaned for those 3 days, too. I spring cleaned, so I was like, oh, I have a closet, and I have a kitchen, and I have a, I can mop the floors at 3 a.m. Like, it won't wake anyone. And it's like those excuses too. You find those excuses too to do those things.
Stuff. Yeah. Well, when I had like my very manic episode, it was just like, I was working at the newspaper at State and they were just like making me do like a shit ton of work. And I was just like, you know what? I can't actually do all this. So I did all of it. And, but like, I didn't sleep or eat. That was actually during like Rampage production. In the midst of that.
Was that when you had, like, that meltdown?
I don't think it coincided with that.
No.
See, I'm telling you, like, it was very, like, that was the worst of it. You know why? It's because I told my therapist that are you on medication at all?
I'm on Abilify.
What is that?
It's an antipsychotic drug.
Ooh.
So it's for either schizophrenia, it could also be for intense anxiety. It could be for bipolar. And there's another one. I'm not sure.
I think what's her name? Marisol is on that too.
Yeah,
I remember that podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh
man, you listened.
It was a good. Yeah,
I learned a lot of things.
Yeah, damn, you listened. People listen to this.
Yeah,
but what was it? Yeah, I told my therapist that like once I started Zoloft and it like cut off like the anxiety and just the kind of depression, it made me like. It like bumped up the mania. I mean, I've always been kind of like that, like, but like the depression really just lowered it. But now I was like unchained. I always had a feeling of like I could do anything now, like because the Zoloft like really took off like all the obsessive thoughts and just freed my mind to be too much actually, where it was like I was kind of out of control. Because
you kind of become a different person too.
Yeah, I felt like I could kind of say whatever I want, and I'm like, nothing's stopping me now.
That's when you were burning down bridges at Fresno State, right?
Yeah.
At the Collegian, and you're like, I'm gonna just start my own publication, and you try to get everybody to come to your new publication and quit.
I still have that idea, but like, yeah, that was definitely much of the grand. Because one of the symptoms of like mania is like. Sense of grandeur, just like, dude, I could do this, and like, I don't give a shit.
You start reading people too, and you're just like dropping like, truth bombs,
and it's kind of like you're so abrasive.
You guys notice when you're in your hypomania or like mania stage, or it's just like seems like you're just living life?
That's the hard part, especially hypomania, because mania kind of like for it to be full blown mania, like medically, you have to have like a break in reality, and I don't think I've ever had that. Do you think you have had that?
Like, oh yeah. Oh,
okay.
This past semester, after I was saving everything up, and
you just had like a break, and then you might need to be like hospitalized or anything, but like it's like hard. But I don't think I've ever gotten to that point. That's why I'm leaning on the diagnosis. I haven't seen my psychiatrist yet, but I'm leaning on the diagnosis of. Either bipolar 2 or cyclothymia, which is a lower form of bipolar 2.
But and for you, Chris, like, did you realize when you were like in that manic stage? Or what was it that? Because I know this last semester was like
whirlwind.
Yeah, like I really want you to like just like kind of walk us through like what things led to it to the point where you were like it was so much that you entered that like
entered into that
psychotic
state?
Mm-hmm. Like having a it was like an episode of psychosis, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't really remember what led up to it. I just remember what kind of like snapped me out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was when I went to my college's like CAPS, Counseling and Psychological Services.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I clicked and they have an initial interview and I've been to CAPS before. I've done I've done like the same day, like, you know, non-crisis one.
Yeah.
But then when I saw that they picked the crisis one for me.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's when I was like, whoa, like what's going on here? I was like, was like all of this like not true? Like, was I hearing like not real? And so I remember I was just like, okay, like if it's like, I got to do it because I'm like, I'm so stressed and I like got to go. So, but that's like what really like snapped me out of it. So if I could think of what really led me into it, I would probably say teaching.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because when I would teach, there would be like whispers. And I wasn't sure if the whispers were about me or about someone else, or like a different teacher maybe.
Yeah.
So, and then I would assume that they were always about me. I would like take them on and like, oh, they're talking about me. And then, so that's kind of like how that led like to like people around me. And I would assume people around me were talking about me as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I kind of have that sometimes. Where it's like,
you heard your like mom's voice, right?
No, that's just a normal occurrence sometimes. Oh. Like when I was thinking about it, like it's always like sometimes I hear my mom like call me, but actually it doesn't happen as often anymore. But mm-hmm. that definitely happened when I was like younger. But wait, you teach or?
I was a TA.
Oh, you were a TA. Yeah.
So
okay.
I would just sit in classes, and so then I would have an active role in the class.
Mm-hmm.
So then, because of my active role and me participating so much in the class, students would come up to me as well as the professor. So
yeah.
So they would ask me, so I would get emails, about 50 emails a day.
Yeah.
So from like same people asking the same questions and stuff.
So you think you were just not in the right like headspace to take on like that much stress and responsibility? Like took it on.
Yeah. I was like, watch me, like, look at me go. Like,
yeah. And it's like, you're so pressured to do so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to do like everything that like my mom taught me how to do to be a good teacher. And then next thing you know, like, there I am, just like.
What made you go to CAPS? What made you finally go?
I remember that me and the professor were supposed to grade finals, and I just wanted to take them home. And she's like, okay, do you want to sit here a while? Because I think she kind of knew something was going on, because she taught a mental health class as well.
Oh, really?
That's so cool. Yeah, so I took that class as well, and it was pretty interesting. And so, but I think she was seeing through me. And so I was like, oh, so she sat me down. And so she was like, so what's been going on, man? And like this very like chill, like conversation. And I was just like, oh, and that's when I was like, oh, nothing much. Just like trying to get through like the semester.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I was like, and then I just started to cry.
Oh, man, that's like. That's the worst, because it's like finally someone like kind of like actually cares, and you're like, yeah, I'm fine, and then like, I'm not fine. This is not fine.
I was like, I'm just trying to get through the semester.
And then I was like, takes out his cry rugs.
Yeah, I was like, and there's this stuff going on with my dad, and I was just like, all of this stuff like finally coming out, because it's like I lived in a studio apartment with just like by myself, like I couldn't. There's no one to talk to.
Yeah.
So I would start talking to myself. Like,
oh, I do that too.
Yeah. And I was like, but then it was not the good kind of talking. So then during the classes, I kind of like not get violent, but like start to like get angry. Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
you like lash out.
Yeah. Like get agitated. Like, oh, like you do this like in your paper, and like, don't do this. Like, why would you do this in your paper? Like, I would assume like it was like, you know, like people proofread their papers or something. But then it was just like I would get agitated, and the agitation like led up to it. And the professor was like, she's like, she would like cover for me. So, but then then students would come up to me at the end, and they'd be like, were you talking about me? Or I'd be like, I was like, no. A lot of other people did that too.
That one meme.
Oh, yeah.
The Gemini meme.
I sent her that meme where it's like, oh no, this, what was the meme? It was, you point out like a flaw in somebody that your friend also has, but like, oh, you're the good kind. Yeah. It's like all Scorpios are bad. And then I found out that Paulina's Scorpio. I was like, oh, you're not bad.
You're the bad kind of Scorpio.
Oh, what's your sign, by the way?
He's Cancer.
Oh, okay.
That's how we get along.
Good. That's good.
I'm the loving sign.
Yeah, Cancers are dope.
But so what else did your professor say, or like what happened for you to like have a realization? Like you were crying and.
So what happened was, is I debated for like 5 minutes, like whether I was not, like whether I was going to take these papers home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then she got me a gift as well. Ooh. And so she got me this Echo Dot, and I kind of thought, yeah, she got me an Echo Dot. What? And she was like, these are what all the kids are saying, like the kids were saying to get you. And what was really mysterious was that my my boyfriend at the time got me an Echo Dot, and we were going through some things, and I got angry at him, and I took a hammer to the Echo Dot.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This is what happens when you get like in that state. You yeah. just you kind of
do outlandish things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, so I took the hammer to it because I was like, you know what? I don't want this anymore. And so I was like, so I was like freaking out because I was like, has he been talking to my professor? And it was like these like,
yeah, you make like these very weird connections.
Exactly.
Like, just like, oh, this thing. Sometimes you're right though. And you're like, I hate that when I'm
but
right.
I'll never know if I was right.
Yeah. Mm.
So I'm just like, I accept it as like my own now. So I'm just like,
yeah.
Cause also too, in like one of my dance classes, my professor talked a lot in like the second person, like you guys got to stop, or like you have to do this. He never made it clear who he's talking to.
Mm.
So one day during class, I was just like, stop talking to me.
Damn.
And everyone stared at me. And I was like, no, he was talking to me because I would always be like at the front of the class or like just like dancing and stuff, like talking and stuff. So he was like, and then at one point he was like, why do you do that? And I was like, is he talking to me? And like we had beef too. Like me and that professor had beef. Like,
yeah.
How long have you felt like this? Like, do you think you've recently like gotten, or was it like kind of growing up?
Very recently, not growing up.
Yeah.
I know my psychiatrist asked me that question too, as really? Well. He was like, is this recent? Have you always heard like, you know, like he called it intuition.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh yeah, like intuition, like, you know, and I was like, and then I looked that up and it's actually like a psychiatric term. So I was like, oh, that's cool.
What intuition is?
Yeah.
Wow. My intuition's so bad. It's like,
so
broken.
I know you like, you're actually the first person that I knew that went to therapy. Like, that's why I went to therapy.
He was
like,
really?
Yeah, in
you're the
midst
catalyst.
Of like, no, yeah, in my breakdown, like, before my breakdown, he was just like, you have trauma, Paulina. You don't understand. It's complicated. You got to go to therapy. And I was like, you don't know shit.
And then she broke down and spent like the night on my floor. Aww. For the
yeah,
night.
Like, the last month I was in Long Beach, like, I couldn't stay at my apartment because I was like, I don't want to be alone. And they made me feel alone. So yeah. I just like went to his house for like the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit.
And like spent it there. Yeah. Mm. But yeah, you were the first person that went to therapy. I remember you went your sophomore year, right?
Mm-hmm.
What made you want to go to therapy?
I remember my sister, she was like my oldest sister. She was like the first one to actually like admit to like anxiety in the family.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
How many sisters or brothers or siblings?
I have two sisters.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was the one of like the first ones, but my mom always would be like, no, that's not real. You're just going through like a tough time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was, and then next thing you know, like, might be too personal, but then she went through a tough time.
Yeah.
And so it's like, she finally understands too. Like, it's like, it's really cool too to have like a matriarch in the family understand like mental health issues as well. So I was kind of, my sister kind of went to therapy first. And then that's when I was like, it's okay to like go get help.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And really so then I was like, I'm going to go get help because I'm under a lot of stress. And I was like, I don't know how to handle it because being so far away from home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did your like anxiety manifest? Because I didn't understand anxiety until I had a breakdown. I was like, oh, I get Chris now. This sucks. I was like, wow. Social situations kind of suck sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Especially as an adult now, too, like navigating through those situations.
Yeah, I hate that.
It's like, oh, did I like overstep something? But It's like that kind, that constant like walking on eggshells feeling was kind of like how it like manifested. Cause I was like, you know, like being gay and like, you know, when is it okay to come out and when is it not mm-hmm. okay to come out to some people?
Mm-hmm.
Or like, you know, when is it, you know, okay to act in a certain way mm-hmm. and then in not in a certain way?
Yeah.
You know, like when I meet a girl, can I just be like, oh, like he's cute? Or like when I meet a guy, do I have to be like sports, beer, IPA?
And you went to a Catholic elementary school,
elementary
middle school,
school,
and high school, right?
Yeah,
all Catholic three. Elementary and high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it was conservative. It was like
it was pretty conservative yeah. too, because of the majority of the population, the like the race and the, like ethnicities of the school. I remember I could probably count the amount of Black people on one hand. Like diversity was
where was this though?
Is it's it in Long Beach? Stockton.
Oh, Stockton. Okay.
Yeah, like diversity was not popping at my high school. So.
Yeah, so, Catholic. Oh, are you still religious? Are you still Catholic? Do you still consider yourself Catholic?
I do, and I like, but not practicing.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So we still hold the faith. Like that's how like I put it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we don't practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm a Catholic and I'm. Practicing Catholic. I'm yeah. going to heaven, guys. I'm just kidding.
I low-key practice, but it's like a mixture.
Yeah.
Yeah. You make your own thing, I think.
Yeah, it's all you can make. I yeah. kind of want to do a religion episode one day or yeah, like spirituality. But
I feel like I'm very yeah. spiritual.
Yeah.
But also the thing that I learned like through my experience, like having breakdown and anxiety is like anxiety doesn't really come from nowhere. It always has like a source. Like, did you ever find like what your thing was? Because I always feel like anxiety is just like a state of like you're not comfortable in your surroundings and that's mm-hmm. how it manifests, like you're afraid.
So mine was two sources.
Mm-hmm.
I had so at a young age, sexual assault. So that was like a big one, like, you know, being pinned down, you know, mm-hmm. You know, put in chokeholds, stuff like that by someone who's bigger than you, and then have that constant. He was always a part of like we took him in as like one of our own family members because his family wasn't they didn't really want children.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to take care of their kids. So they would often drop him off at our house with no warning and then say, we're going to like Jackson to go gamble.
Mm-hmm.
And so having that constant like presence all around all the time, that was a big one too.
Yeah, that makes sense. You yeah. feel like it could happen at any time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then another one was my dad's struggle with alcoholism too. So
mm-hmm.
that was like, those are the two things that I came down to, and accepting those two things is like what's really pushed me forward into like healing and mm-hmm. coming to terms with like who I am and stuff.
What have you done in terms of healing other than therapy? Like, what have you learned?
I've learned that sometimes you just gotta say, fuck it. Like, you just gotta kind of just know when enough is enough, and you just gotta dive in and you know, take like a random trip to Arizona or like
see, okay, that's a problem sometimes for me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because I know I'm like, I could feel when I can't tell if I'm like in a hypomanic state or like I'm just feeling myself,
because
mm-hmm. like I want to do something crazy, but or like not crazy, but like something that I don't typically do, and I'm like, am I doing this because I'm unstoppable or because I really wanted to do it? And sometimes I just do something because I'm like, well, whatever.
I'm going to warn you, don't shave your head.
I shaved his head. He let me shave his head.
I've done that multiple times.
It's an acceptable response to stress, but don't
Okay, actually, I used to have very long hair. Like, I used to have a man bun. And it was 2015. I had, that was my breaking point mm-hmm. of like 2015, the year. I was going through like a pretty shitty breakup, and then like everything else was culminating in that breakup. Like mm-hmm. the breakup didn't really it just like agitated it, or to the point where I just, everything broke. That's actually when I first had my panic attack.
Sometimes you have, I feel like that's when you have a breaking point, because I don't have panic attacks till my breakdown.
Yeah, like I've never had a panic attack before that, but that was like my full blown one. Like, because my ex used to just freaking, she's not a good person. she texted like, oh, we're breaking up, and I'm like, what? I was in class, I was in psych actually, and she just texted that to me, and I was like, And then I just had to walk out. And like, I felt like the world was spinning and I couldn't breathe. And I was like, fuck. And then she texted, oh, I'm just kidding. I'm like, you don't kid with that.
No.
Yeah.
Honey, no.
Yeah, that's what. And then, yeah, that really messed me up because that's why texting gives me so much anxiety.
Really?
Because it's just that experience was just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, I was already going through therapy, but the therapy was not strong enough. But yeah. And then I shaved my head for my 21st birthday. I shaved my head like completely to the skin.
Oh, wow.
It was such a, and I think it's like a form of control. I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah,
it's like,
it totally is.
I was like, I can control anything, and my hair is one of them.
Yeah, it totally is. Because I dyed my hair green once.
Yeah, it's so, like a form of control.
Mm-hmm, like it's like control and like kind of like rebirth.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're like, oh, this is my new identity now.
Yeah, like, you know, you have a new identity, and it's like, that was with me too, like going through like this entire thing. I think when you go through like a psychosis, you like, because with mine, I took a family stress and coping class.
Yeah.
And so it's psychology. So we were looking at a lot of psychology stuff. And like, if you ever go into psychology, like your first patient is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah.
Like you ask yourself these questions, and like you can't be a psychologist unless you've asked yourself these questions and dealt with your problems. So I think when you go through like these states and like, you know, there's always these big questions that you're asking yourself, like, who am I, or like, what am I doing? And so those kinds of questions are like,
ooh,
what are like, what kind of lead up to those like kind of like situations too, because I was graduating, so I was asking those questions.
Yeah. And I want to ask too, like, because I remember when I met you, like when I saw you the last time I saw you in Long Beach, and you were really going through
I couldn't move.
But I remember you telling me like you never wanted to tell your family like what was going on, because like you were going through psychosis, and like I know you were hearing voices and things like that. So like, what made you like want to be open about it? Because I think it takes a lot to like,
Did you tell your parents or anything? Like, how did that go?
Well, I was going through like an identity crisis. Mm-hmm. And so like looking into like myself and finding out who I wanted to be, especially being a part of like the LGBTQ community. So I learned, like, I delved deeper into like the Q aspect of like LGBTQ and stuff. And so that's like when I kind of was like, you know, like this whole process led me to this discovery. And so that's when I was kind of like, you know what? Like, yeah, I do want to tell my parents, because like, you know, I've told him like I'm gay. I've told like, you know, like I've told him about the sexual assault. I've told him about like all of that. And so I was like, you know what? Like, me delving deeper into my sexuality is something I should tell my parents about, because it's like they're supportive of me. And it's like I'm glad I have supportive parents, like who are willing to listen to, you know, my experience with myself.
Yeah, so they were open about like you telling them like you had bipolar disorder or like something like, or you have like anxiety problems.
Yeah, my mom knows what medication I take, so I kind of leave that up to her to so she knows, like, you know, by secondhand. But it's like I've asked her what she has, but at the same time, like, my psychiatrist hasn't really like full blown. Yeah, like, you know, like, this is what it is.
Oh, okay. But like, but they know that you're like, you have, you're dealing with your mental health. Because I remember I told my parents, that was, I'm not going to equate it to like coming out or anything.
Yeah.
But it is kind of like hard. Well, that was the hardest thing, like telling my parents, like, I have depression. Because like my therapist told me, like, you have depression. And
it
I was
is
like,
coming out. It is coming out.
Yeah, like, but it was so hard. And then my mom started crying. Like,
really?
That, yeah, because she thought that, she started blaming herself. Like, what did we do? Or like, what did we do wrong? And I'm like, no, it's not you. It's, well, part of it was you, but.
My mom was like, go to therapy.
Really?
Yeah, and she was like, go to a hypnotherapist so that you know everything that happened. I was like, I don't think I want to go into trauma that I don't remember. But like, force that. But then after a while, like, you know how therapy is a really long process?
Yeah.
She was like, you should stop going because you just come back crying. Like, you come back worse. And I'm like, but this is good. I'm crying.
Wait, my first therapist told me, like, it'll get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, that's what
they always say.
And I'm like, fuck you.
It's a process, too. Yeah. And they're like, she was like, because my therapist limited it to 6 months.
Okay.
She goes, in the first month, you'll be okay. Like, everything will be fine. And she's like, and then in the third month, I'm going to fuck you up.
Wow.
And she is just like, and then coming to the fourth and the fifth and the sixth month, you'll be okay. And I was like, and so then,
She fucked me up.
She fucked me up.
Yeah.
Actually, the reason why I'm like suspicious that I have like some form of bipolar disorder. It's because like last week I was like so bad, like.
Oh,
so
like you're in a very depressive.
Yeah, episode. But now I'm like, oh, I'm fine. Yeah, and I'm actually now I'm going back into the hypomania, and it's so useful because it's like.
But I think I really think like extremes are so limiting.
Yeah, I know, but it's
because you can only go so. I feel like you can only go so far in life before you hit a wall.
That's why I'm scared though, because I don't want to burn myself out because this could easily. Yeah.
But then on the other hand, there's this like inside of me where I was like, I was actually pretty doing like successful in Long Beach, like by myself.
Yeah. But like, you, inside you were dying.
Yeah. I was selling everything I had. Like,
I heard that like a lot of people struggle with that because like the motivation you get with hypomania is like, or just mania, well, not the debilitating kind, is so. It feels so good because you get to do so much. Actually, Kanye, I'm bringing Kanye because I saw his interview and he talked about his bipolar disorder and his diagnosis where it is kind of like part of him. Like I kind of, I'm kind of scared of taking medication to kind of clip it down because like I kind of like it sometimes where I get to be motivated and do stuff. But also I realize that sometimes I take it too far and I kind of burn some people.
Yeah, I had that feeling too where I was just like, you know, it's like I can do like literally like anything I want. Yeah. And it's like, but at the same time, it's like she said, like you kind of just burn out at one point because it's like your brain can't take all of like the super hyperactive mania.
It makes like sleeping hard. That's what I knew I was like getting back into because I would go to sleep and I was like, oh man, I could do so much right now. Like, I could be this. Or, like, I'm planning, like, the next 3 months. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this. Then I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, or like, yeah, it was just so much. Or, like, I could, yeah.
It's like, I can go to the gym Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah.
Like, you're planning the entire
thing. But you're not going that day.
Yeah, and I was just like, but, like, it just, there's just too much. And I was like, I need to, And the melatonin was not working because, like, the other night I was like,
bruh, get some tea. I'll write down all the. I literally put like 10 things in my tea. I sleep like a baby. I don't think I need those 10 things. I really think I could just sleep by myself, but it feeds my psyche.
Or like when I would try to go to sleep, I would like head down pillow for like 5 seconds and then like, oh, I can't go to sleep. I'm going to go like clean out my closet.
Yeah.
That was like my go to, like my like mechanism. Coping. Yeah. Like clean.
You should always get a massage. I think that's
I've never had a massage actually.
I remember one time before I left Long Beach, like I think you were going through something there too. And I like, I don't know. It's weird. Like I could see it. Like I think because I spent so much time with you, I was like, he's not okay.
I think that was the time my laptop broke before a final project.
Maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I gave him like a massage and then he like slept like a baby. He was like, no, Paulina. And then he fell asleep.
I fell asleep. Yeah. It was really good. It was a really good massage.
I am. I have the hands of a nation. But I want to talk about like, because with bipolar, there is a moment of psychosis. Like, like how was that experience? And just like, how did that go, I guess? Because I think people can confuse it because you said that you were hearing things and you can easily confuse that with something else like schizophrenia.
So my psychiatrist did not rule that out. So it could be that psychosis or it could have been schizophrenia. They don't know, especially too because of my medicine. It's just, it just works so well for me. But if it's like psychosis during that state, I remember an example is one time I went to Starbucks and I was doing homework and the baristas, they were talking and I thought they were talking about me and about how I always come into the Starbucks and how I always work in the Starbucks and stuff. And I was like, well, what? And so like, I was like, huh? And so then I was like, I started to listen more. And then that's kind of when like, don't go down the rabbit hole. That's like my, that's my advice.
Yeah,
like,
that's dangerous.
Like, and so then I was like, I went down the rabbit hole and I started listening to them even more. And then, so then it started to turn negative. And so then I was like, oh my gosh, like they're like talking negative about me. And I'm just trying to be like, I'm trying to write here. And so I'm like trying to like type a paper. And so then that's like one example. Another example is you get so inside your head that your feelings start to become urges.
So, what does that mean?
So like I was telling you guys before, like, a past boyfriend, we were going to Target and I told him, I was like, oh yeah, like, oh, like it was just like, sometimes your words have like seriousness and like gravity mm-hmm. to them. Mm-hmm. And so I remember I was just sitting down on my rug, just staring up at like the ceiling. And I was just like, I had so much enough of like the voices and the talking and this, like the psychosis that I was just like, I just want to like end it. And I was like, mm-hmm. and cause I live next to a very busy street with traffic going yeah. down. And so that kind of was like a trigger too. Cause I was like, I can't sleep. I can't like think, it's just another car passing by. Mm-hmm. And so then we went to a overpass mm-hmm. and I was just kind of in my own head. And I was just like, well, we're going to Target and we need to get this and we need to get that, this, that, this, that, like that continual running. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I stopped for just a second. And then I like looked at the cars and there's like some of that urge. Like that urge just to like lean forward yeah. and like go move forward.
Yeah.
And then I just felt a really deep sadness. And I was just like, all these people are going to like their things and their lives. And they're like, and I had to take a minute. And I was just like, I don't think they really appreciate like what they're doing or like what, like where they're going or like, yeah. you know? So I had to like, I was like, I stopped leaning forward and I was like, I have to take like an account into like, you know, like how beautiful like life is. And so then, that's kind of like what really like was just like, that was like the beginning of like the turning point mm-hmm. and sort of urges instead of urges, I started like embracing feelings and started yeah. like going back to like actually working on like mental health.
And I know too, like you told me like, because you were hearing so many things, you just kept isolating yourself even more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would just be like, you know, I don't want to go out today because like, you know, like, I don't want to like deal with people staring or like, you know, like people talking about me. And I'd had to talk to I would only go out for like appointments. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So like to my psychiatrist, to my like therapist, who I felt like very comfortable with mm-hmm. because, you know, with my like identity issues as well. So it was, those were the only people I felt comfortable around. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, there's a screen of with Kanye on it, but like that reminds me of like, with the overpass moment, like his lyric is like the darkest thought is always right next to the most, or what was the lyric? The most beautiful thoughts are always besides the darkest. Cause like what you said about like that you appreciate life, but like mm-hmm. literally the second before you were like contemplating just like to lean in and go mm-hmm. for it. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of weird that you realize it right after like the darkest yeah. thoughts you have.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is too, like I always thought like you were like doing great, like that's what it looked yeah. like. And I think like even when I would call you every now and then, like you never like I never heard like the seriousness of like everything you were going to mm-hmm. through. And I always saw you as someone that like had amazing coping mechanisms. And like when I saw you, I think, I don't know when it was, maybe it was April.
Yeah, it was.
I think
about
it was
right
April
before graduation.
Yeah, for your graduation, I just remember like, I was like, wow, you're not okay. Even just like coming into your apartment, because you were the one that told me like your physical space represents your mental space. Mm-hmm. I was like, holy shit. Like you were not the person that I met or that I left, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. And so after that, I was kind of just like, I had to take it slow, like mm-hmm. really slow. And so then I was like, well, spring cleaning, because I was like, what are all these things around me? And I was like, I don't need these things. And so I started to spring clean and like get rid of so much stuff and clutter mm. and stuff. But then a lot of the times I didn't even know myself. Mm. That's how serious it was. I was like, I remember one time I made my therapist cry.
What?
Yeah. I was like, what? Like, isn't it supposed to be the other way around?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, and so then like, and so I was, and she'd always give me hugs to like end the session. And so that's when I had no idea. Like, I was like, why is she crying? And I was like, she just must be going through her own yeah. things right now. But yeah. then,
no, I think like literally you are like one of the greatest persons I've met. Mm-hmm. And you have like so much love and so much light. And to see you like just so lost and like broken, like I wanted to cry. I was very strong that weekend.
Thank
Except
you.
The time
yeah.
we went to Target and we cried on the way yeah. there. But yeah, because I was like, because you were like debating like staying in Long Beach or coming back. And I was like, I just want you to be okay. Like, I don't care mm-hmm. what you decide. But mm-hmm. like, yeah, you've been through a lot and mm-hmm. like, I don't want to cry, but.
You yeah. should. You should cry on the podcast.
I think you didn't even see like how bad things were.
Yeah, because during that time, my dad would make frequent visits to visit me. And so my dad passed away just recently this June.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And so he passed away recently this June. And so he would make these visits to me, and he would always, he'd always be so happy and he'd always be so cheerful. And like, attitude can go a long way. But then once I started to realize physical health problems, I was like, whoa, like, cause my parents would see the gradual physical, cause looking back at it, being from a place where I wasn't with them every day and people who were with them every day,
yeah,
they would see the gradual decline of health. Well, I saw the sudden drops of health. And so that kind of partook like into what I was going through during those like couple of months when you visited, because denial is a crazy thing.
Yeah, it's
So I would deny it. I was like, oh, he's just getting older, like nothing's happening. And then next thing you know, like, oh yeah, like end stage liver failure is like what he was going through. So it was like that kind of like played a part into like that denial aspect of like what I was going through.
So what are, so what are you doing now?
Yeah, how are you coping with the grief, I guess?
So with grief, it's a 13-month period in quotations, because it you never know when grief might end or when it might start up again. And so I remember in the final 3 days, I remember like my dad is just like, you know, I'm going to miss you. And so stuff like that. And so, and it's like, cause I want to go into mental health, and it's like,
okay,
reading between the lines is like a big thing in mental health. Yeah. So it's like, I was reading between the lines and I was like, okay, like it's like end stage right now. Like, you know, like final days. And so I remember he would say like, oh, this is our house. Like, this is not like, I was like, oh dad, like, what do you want me to do around the house? And he goes like, this is our house. Like, he would talk to me and my mom, and he was like, this is our house. So like coping, a big coping thing is just like recently I did, I transformed my old bedroom into a guest bedroom. So I would like interior design, like landscaping, stuff like that. Just like, you know, making sure I'm not like alone, or like having those like coping mechanisms, like not like bad escapes, but like, you know, like a fighting game on like a PlayStation or something. Or like, you know, like singing, like making sure like if I sing, I'm out of my head. So like I get out of my head by like singing. So I'm just like, so I'm, if I feel like I'm like going, then I'll just be like, stop, listen to some music and like, like sing something or something.
Yeah. You got to catch yourself if you're going into that like hole.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, that's what I've been learning too. Just catching yourself. I'm like, all right, stop. Let's do something else. Not this.
I just take baths.
I have to also be careful with alcohol too, because addiction does run in my family. So it's like I have to make sure that my intent is clear every night that I go out. I set my intention. I set my drink limit. So I make sure that, like, you know, I'm not falling into that rabbit hole too. Like, I do have these like mechanisms.
Addictive like qualities.
Yeah. So I make sure I, like, I'm not like going past that, making sure I'm able to say no. And, you know.
Yeah.
And another big thing about it is about bipolar is like, you spend your money, you wear patterns, you spend your money like no tomorrow, you wear patterns, like crazy patterns.
Ram is like at me.
Yeah, at me. I have like no money. We get paid. This is why you should support the show. To support my binge spending. I'm just actually this whole podcast equipment.
It was a binge.
A binge purchase. So my mixer, these mics was kind of like, you know, fuck it. I'm going to buy a podcasting studio.
But you got $3 now. So.
Yeah.
I got
$3. Yeah, so. It evens out.
Yeah. Well, that $3 has a lot of heart. Thank you, Duncan.
Yeah.
We're going to put your name. We're going to like put it in a plaque. Thank you for the first $3. We're going to get $3 and you'll be like, this is what Duncan gave us.
You get the first cry rag.
Yeah. We got to make. When was the last time you cried?
When was the last time I cried? 1 month after my dad passed. So July 20th.
July 20th, damn.
2 days after my birthday.
Oh. Mm. I mean, that makes sense to cry during that time. Because sometimes I just cry for no reason. And like, and you have cry rags. What are those about?
Cry rags are just like any color cry rag that you want. So it's just like washcloths, essentially.
Yeah, but it's like with the intent of like, this is for crying.
This is for crying. Good, like, for the environment.
Yeah, like I'll come out with a box, and in the box is just like a bunch of different colors. And I'm like, every crying experience is like unique and personal. So like, you get to choose your own unique personal rag.
Like, this is, and then is it like, Do you use it? Because I'm thinking like I could just use one and then like never use that one again. Like this is the one that this is the cry rag I used for that one time.
But then that defeats the purpose of like saving the environment.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Well.
Have them for like specific moods.
True.
Like, specific things for when I fuck
this
up.
Is a sneak peek, guys. This is a sneak peek on the merch that boys the cries will have. Cry rags. You'll get them one day.
Possibly embroidered by me.
Yes. We'll see.
That's a great coping mechanism. Yeah.
Embroidering, arts and crafts, that's like a big one. Like I have like all of my coping things into separate like bins.
Oh.
So if I want to, because like making a mess is something that like people who have like bipolar or like, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like, it could just be like, well, I'm going to do a project and I'm going to take on that project in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a big thing to do. So like, that's why I have my bins.
Mm-hmm.
So I have my bins. So like, I can like go into like, oh, like this is like all of my like crayons, markers, pencils, like all that stuff and like coloring books in there. So I could like pull out the bin. And then that's like how I cope. So like I have like coping bins too.
You said that you want to get into mental health. Wait, what did you graduate with?
Like sociology with the focus in social control and deviance.
Oh, okay. And you said you wanted to get into mental health. Like what do you want to do in the future?
So what I want to do is I want to get my master's in social work and then continue on to get my LCSW.
Yeah, that's the licensed
clinical social worker.
Social worker. Yeah. Yeah.
And so that way I could diagnose people who have mental health issues, work in hospitals with people who are maybe going through psychosis or who are going through psychosis, who are there or, you know, who need help getting out. Because a large part of it was during my dad's time, he had encephalopathy, which is when your liver fluids are starting to block access to your brain.
Oh, shit.
So then you start to hallucinate. So he would go through hallucinations. My family would always be like, they're not there. They're not there. Like, they're not there, Gil. And so then I had to, and so I was like Albert Einstein, a quote that I live by is like, what is it? Crazy is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Yeah, insanity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, he's not buying it. Like, you know, like he's not like,
yeah,
he's, you know, like he's not believing them. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to play into his hallucinations because like, you know, like okay. Let's see what can happen. Like maybe he'll help him. Like I like maybe there's something I can do to help him like realize because he called them ghosts.
Mm.
And so I was like, maybe I can get the ghost to go away. So I got a piece of Palo Santo wood and lit the wood and like cleansed my house. So it was like
and he bought it.
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
It was the weirdest thing because during I was going through the airport terminal security and there I had a piece of the Palo Santo wood in my like pocket and they're like, are your pockets clear? And I was like, oh, I forgot I have this piece of wood. And they're like and I handed it to them, and they're like, a piece of wood. I was like, I didn't want to tell them what you do with it because then they were like, and then I was like, yeah. And they're like, okay, just like hold it up like that, like when you go through.
And is so, that metal?
And they're like, maybe it's your lucky piece of wood. And so then it turned out it was. So
you still have that piece of wood?
No, actually, I don't know. I think I might have thrown it away.
Oh, see, I would be sentimental and like kept it. But yeah, that's, yeah.
Yes.
It's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot of things.
Yeah, I was like,
that's my life.
Dang.
We jokingly, because we would smoke so much weed. I don't know. We were high. Like, I was more high than him, I think, like my junior year. No, we would jokingly like get extremely high, go to LA and be like, spiritual awakening.
Spiritual experience.
And you know how like drugs are intentional?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you actually have a spiritual awakening?
Oh, yeah. We would have several.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Where did you guys learn that?
A lot. To not say that.
To not mess around with things. Like,
don't mess with the universe. Don't ask for things that you don't know you want.
Yes, yes. Like, if you go in, like, the universe is crazy. Like, you put out...
give it to you. He took LSD and he's like, I'm going to face my shadow self. Did you face your shadow self? Yeah,
well, I can't wait for the psychedelic episode. Yeah. Because,
like...
But...
Like, you do not ask the universe for, like... Like, if you ask the universe for help, it'll give it to you. Like, I remember one time I was just, like, in my professor's like office and I was just asking her like, oh, I was like career counseling with her. And so then I was like writing things down and then it turned into not career counseling. Like she was like you, like, who do you want to be? Like, because I would deflect things, like, you know, like, I was like, who do you want to be? And so, but the next thing you know, it's like, she's like in my face, like, who do you want to be? And like, and I was like, I don't know. And I was like, I start to like cry in her office because I was like, you know, and because then she asked me if I was homeless and I was like, I'm just going to a dance class.
I mean, they really do send the right people sometimes, or the one you want. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get exercise, guys. Anyone know an exorcist? Oh my
gosh. I don't believe in that necessarily.
What's that?
I don't. What I don't think people like put shit on you. I think you create your own energy. No, I think it's just your own energy.
Because I was watching, have you ever seen Nathan For You? It's a very funny show, but there was like an episode where they got an exorcist to exercise. And it was from Fresno. The guy was from Fresno. And I was like, I need to get this guy.
She went to a curandera.
What is that? It's
like a spiritual person in Mexican spiritual. Mm. But I was, the book I was reading about it, they call it soul retrieval. So when you're really traumatized, kind of like a piece of you is like suspended in time. I think that's, it made me understand trauma a little bit more because that's what I thought when I was going to therapy. Like you're reintegrating parts of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. On Boys, we're all different. I mean, we like to look at mental health through everything, spirituality,
holistic.
You might not believe in that, but hey, your brain believes that you are anxious. So what does he know? Or they know? Mm-hmm. Your brain's dumb.
Yeah,
my brain's dumb as hell.
Whatever works.
Yeah, whatever works. Literally, whatever works.
It's, unless it's drugs, don't do that. Don't go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, don't. We will do it for. I'm just kidding.
We will do it for you.
Nah,
for the listeners.
Yeah, I think we're right about done. We've done almost an hour.
What would be some advice that you would want to give people?
Final words.
If you need help, don't wait. Really don't. Like, there are people out there who are going to be there for you, and they're going to take you to places that you might not feel comfortable in. Or, like, if they take you to, like, a mental health facility, it is your option to go. And even if it's not that serious, that you'll probably think that person later down the line when you look back at it. So don't be afraid to get help. I guess that's what I would say.
Yeah.
And it gets better.
It does get better.
And what is a song that has helped you through like a lot of things?
It's a very like, it's totally out of my personality. So it's like really like, I don't know how I stumbled upon it, but it's called Get What You Give by The New Low. It's like a screamo song.
Oh my god. That really is.
It's totally like out of my personality, but it's because I really like the lyrics. He says, we are broken to make ourselves whole. And he's like, you get what you give. So like if you get positivity when you give positivity.
True. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. Well, thank you for being on and talking.
Thanks for having me.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, I'm processing it. I need to process this in therapy. I'm just kidding. Well, this has been Boys Do Cry, episode 9. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Give us 5 stars. Give us good ratings, please. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Boys Do Cry Pod. What else do we plug? This support us, 99 cents a month. We'll feed me.
We'll feed our souls.
You can buy me a Diet Coke. It's only $1. Thank you for listening. And just thanks for all the support and love. And please take care of yourselves out there. Mm-hmm. All right. And I don't know. I think that's about it.
Yeah. Just like, I love you.
Yeah. I love you forever. And... we'll see you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye-bye. What's the purpose to life? Ever want to live so bad you want to die? Ever cried and cried until you can't cry? Like, why am I alive? What's the purpose to life?